Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Now, we've been speaking about how to work for God, and we've been focusing on giving and working for God. I've taken up the assignment of trying to correct some of the things that are wrong in the minds of Christians. And one of the most important things I have said is that Christians, we do not give because of what we are going to get. The Bible says, give expecting nothing in return. He said to Job, who has given to God that he may demand back from him? Nobody. The Bible says clearly that all God's gifts are free to us. And I said that the reason God answers our prayers is because he loves us. The reason why God answers our prayers, gives things to us in answer to those prayers, is because we ask in faith. And we ask without wrong motives. That is, we ask correctly. We cleanse our hearts and then we ask God for anything and he gives to us. If you give to your son, your child, because you love the child, you can be sure that God much more feels like that towards you and he gives to you because he loves you. For that reason, you do not have to try, all right, to get something from him by first giving to him. I've established the fact that it is not true when people say nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your hand. That statement is not biblical. Don't walk by it. It is not true when people say that you cannot make requests of God for things except you have first put seed in the ground. That thing is not true. You can't give to God until he has given to you. God only accepts things that he has put into your life. That's just the way it is. What God expects from his children is faithfulness. What God expects from his children is faithfulness. That is, Paul said it like this. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's in verse 10. The Bible says, and God who supplies seed for the sower and bread to eat, will also supply with all the seed you need and make it grow and produce a rich harvest from your generosity. Now, I'm going to bring out something here. You notice that what he was saying is that, he was quoting this from the book of Isaiah. You know, what he was saying is that, listen, there's seed for the sower and there's bread for food. In everything that God gives you, there's a portion you are supposed to eat and there's a portion you are supposed to give. That's what he was saying. So anything that God gives you, I said it last time, the spiritual discipline, all right, of Christians. Christians need spiritual intelligence to be able to separate the different parts of what God gives to them. Now, what God's demanding of us is generosity. That if I send money into your life, it is not for you alone. Last time I explained the principle of gleaning as a way by which we practice generosity. Generosity must be practiced. Are you getting my point? God expects us to be faithful in handling his resources. And part of our assignment is to be generous. We are not doing it because we want to get. We are doing it because God is the one that gives to us. Are you getting my point? And we must be faithful towards him as diligent and good children. We are doing it because we have the spirit of our Father inside us, and the spirit of our Father is the spirit of the giver. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. In the same manner, if I love somebody, I will give towards that person. And we said that, how do we give to God? We are not following idolatry and saying that God does not exist anywhere else apart from inside the church. I established last time that when people say that the lesser is blessed by the greater, therefore, if you give to somebody who is not greater than you, are you getting me? You are not going to be blessed. Therefore, if you give to the poor, you won't get anything. We saw that Job said that the blessing of the person about to perish came upon me. That is, a poor person can bless you. And the Bible says it clearly. When Solomon was speaking about that, he said that he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. Are you getting my point? So we said, number one way by which we give to God is to be generous to those who are in need. Now, let me quickly go to the next one, because we're itemized five of them. And the next one is talking about those who are in need, who are your close relatives. That thing is very important. Let's quickly read what Paul wrote to Timothy. Now, because of time, all right, we cannot read everything. But you see, from 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul began to write to Timothy concerning how to run the affairs of the church. He told him how not to speak to an older man, how to handle younger people, how to handle younger women. He said all of those things. He now described in verse 3, honor widows who are widows indeed. That is, who is the person he calls a widow indeed? An example of a widow indeed is Naomi in the Bible. When Naomi returned, she did not have a husband. She was a widow. Her two children were dead. All right? So she had no support, and which was the reason why Ruth clung to her. So that was a widow indeed. But what Paul said is not a widow indeed. It's a widow who is a professional who has a lot of money. It's a widow, you understand my point, who has children, all right, who can take good care of her. Those are the people he called widows indeed. And if you read down the line, he now said in verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. He now began again to describe who a widow is. The person must be a particular age, must be this, must be that. Now, I'm going to bring out something here. You see something that Paul was trying to explain about support of widows. That was what he was doing when he made that statement. That if one does not provide for those of his household. Like I said the other time, that women have used this to beat their husbands. You see a woman is walking, she's very comfortable. She's a senior nursing sister somewhere, or she's a school principal somewhere, or she's a doctor, or she's a businesswoman. She can be anything. And then she's earning money. Then at the end of the month, she turns to her husband, where is chop money? Children are going back to school. Where is school fees? It's time to pay rent. Where is rent money? And the husband is not allowed to talk because she will quickly throw it in his face. If any man does not provide for those of his household. But what he said is, if anyone... Are you saying men shouldn't take care of their families? Please, oh, that was not what I said. I take care of mine. Are you getting my point? But I'm trying to say that what Paul was saying is not this thing we have been saying. He wasn't saying women should collect all their monies and go and hide somewhere. And you know, sometimes, just by the way, what those kind of women do with that money, I don't understand. They go and build one house somewhere. What do you want to do with the house that your husband does not know about? You go and wear gold. The Bible says that you are the glory of your husband. Are you getting my point? When the man is not pleased with the gold you are wearing, what advantage is it? Please, I'm not talking about family matters now. But please, husband and wife, sit down. The two shall become one flesh, including their money. Two of you should settle down and plan. Listen, those children are as much your own as they belong to your husband, unless you are an unbeliever. So, but I'm not talking about that now. What I want to talk about is the real thing that Paul was saying. When Paul said that, he was saying exactly that if you find a widow that has children, all right, close relatives that have the means to take care of her, she's not a widow indeed. He says such people, that is those her children or her close relatives, they should practice generosity first, like I was saying, towards her, such a person. He said, listen to what he said. If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? That is what God is saying is this. If your father, your mother, your auntie, somebody who's close to you, all right, has need, are you following me? And you have the means to meet it, practice generosity there first. A lot of us, what do? We go to, look, I've said it before. If the only person that knows you are generous is your pastor, you are of your father, the devil. That's a matter of fact. There are Christians that, listen, pastor will look at them and say, this brother is very committed. But his father doesn't think so. His mother does not think so. His cousin doesn't think so. His brothers and sisters don't think so. They have never gotten a recharge card from your hand. That's Christmas time. Yet your pastor, you worship him at his feet. You are serving Satan. You are not serving God. Christians who serve God, they don't behave like that. The other day, one of my younger colleagues in the office, he came to me because I'm like the head. So he said, please, sir, I need to obtain permission. Can you give me 2 days? I need to travel to our village. I said, what is going on in your village? Listen, I just want to give an example of how good people should behave and Christians should learn it. He said, I have an uncle. Those days he lived in America. He believed that all he should do is have one child. And he and his wife came back home. After they had passed childbearing age, the only child they had died. He said, now they are there in the village. I'm there. I'm the nephew. But the man is sick. I need to go and take care of him. So I need to go to the village and go and bring him and take him to hospital. It will take me like 2 days, sir. I said, go ahead. Because this is a good thing. That's what it means. You know, that man, the Bible says in effect, he's not really alone. He has a nephew that's a doctor, that's any money. Hunger should not be his problem. Are you getting my point? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're working in a bank, they're paying you fast salary. Let me tell you why they sacked you. Because last year, when your cousin wanted to do jump, you have given first fruit. You did not have money to give him for jump money. So God made sure that February they sacked you. Because you're not committed to the people of your household. Ah, Christianity, this is why people don't like us sometimes. We behave like our brains don't work anymore. God, I said to you, is not only in a building, he's hardly ever there anyway. That's a matter of fact. Where he is inside people. In the day of judgment, he said, I will say to these ones, you saw me and you helped me. And they said, when did we see you and when did we help you? He said, that you helped the least of these my saints. That's Christianity. That's how we work for God. You know, some people, one of my friends once, his uncle wanted to wed, or I think his brother or somebody. He said the whole family had decided that he's on his own. I said, why is he on his own? He said, because the fellow had never lifted a finger that they knew to help anybody. That must never be the testimony of a Christian. I said to him, forgive him. Don't buy into his sin. Help him. I said, don't buy into his sin. Just do what you can for him. That is, the family gathered and said, that brother, for this ceremony, he's on his own. That must never be our testimony. Let me say to us again. You don't wait till you are very rich for you to start being generous to somebody. I tell people, especially when it comes to this matter of brothers and sisters and siblings and people of your household, I talk to my colleagues sometimes, my friends. I say, listen, occasionally these days, buy recharge cards, scratch them plenty, and start pushing them to different people. You've not spoken to your brother in a while. Send him a card, 500 naira. I said, send it around. I said, that's how you show people that you love them. Let me not say much more than that. But this scripture was not saying, man, make sure you take care of your wife and your children. No, that was taken for granted. It was saying that if you have a close relative and you don't help the person, even though you have the means, he said, you are worse. Listen, you have denied the faith and you are worse than an unbeliever. Go to church tomorrow and start wondering how many people in that church, including you, yourself, are worse than unbelievers. There are people who are there. They're in the big cities. Their parents are back at home. They have a very nice job. Their parents are back at home. All right. Their uncles, some people are back at home. In lack, in need, hardly eating enough. They don't even remember to check. Are you getting my point? They don't remember. They don't make a conscious effort to check regularly. How are these people doing? Yeah, the guy weekend. The guy is doing a mojai jai. He will go and sit down for bar, he and his friends, and be eating and wasting money. Listen, if you sit down at one sitting, you and your friends, you whack more money at a sitting than you are using to make sure your parents back at home are comfortable. Something is wrong with your head. But there are people who do it. If they are Christians, shame on them. What have I emphasized by that? That's also giving to God, though. It is also the gift to God. Very important. Let nobody tell you that one is just dash. That one is just scatter. You know, when I hear some people preach it, I know that members of that church will really have problems in life. Because if mouths don't bless you, your father never rose up one day and said to you, it will be well with you. You will have problems in life. The Lord is good. Now, we've established that, so I think I can leave that. And the third way by which we said that we can give to God, let me just develop that again a little bit further, is by giving to those that God specifically said we should honor. Are you getting my point? For example, for the most important one, is that, because you see, these things are tied together. First, I talked about the poor, then I talked about the poor of your household. Along the line, I began to talk about your parents, but specifically when it comes to your parents, where they come under is the next one I want to talk about, which is what he said, when he said you should give to those you are supposed to honor. And let me prove it that's what the Lord Jesus was saying, all right? That what God had in mind when he said that honor people is that you should give to them also as part of honor. Honor is not just a matter of mouth. In fact, I say it all the time. It makes me laugh when people say that, oh, this ministry has been a blessing, my God. This ministry has been a blessing. And they have plenty of money. Ministry has been a blessing. Add your own contribution to make the ministry go forward. Now you are using mouth to say ministry has been a blessing. It is not right. It is not right. And when the Lord Jesus wanted to explain honor, he made it clear that honor was not just something you had in your heart, though it starts from there. honor was not just something you had in your mouth, though it must be there also, but honor had a lot to do with what you give to people. Let me read two scriptures to prove that. Quickly, if you go to the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 6. The Lord was speaking through the prophet Malachi. He said, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Now, notice what he was saying. O priests who despise my name, he was speaking to them. But you say, how have you despised thy name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. Are you seeing that? The kind of sacrifice they were presenting was a show of whether they respected and honored God or they did not. Let me show another scripture that will prove that one clearly. And that's when the Lord Jesus was speaking. The book of Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus was speaking here. From verse 9, he was also saying to them, you nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. What's the commandment of God? Honor your father and your mother. And he who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death. Those are the commandments of God. Now, but how did they overturn the commandment of God? If you read verse 11, it said, but you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by is korban, that is, given to God. Are you seeing it? You no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. Notice what he was saying here. The commandment is honor your father and your mother. And the Lord Jesus said, you are turning it over. You are turning it upside down. You are spoiling it. How did you do that? He said, simply by making sure children are no longer able to give to their parents. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That is, the sign of honor is what? Giving. And remember what I said before? That he said that, listen, we explained that the only thing we can give to God is what? Obedience. So part of the ways by which you give to God is what he's saying here. You obey a principle. It's an eternal principle. I know that because Paul said this is the first commandment with a promise, and he handed it down also to Christians in the book of Ephesians. So he said, in simple terms, honor thy father and thy mother is an eternal principle, and it is reflected in how you give to them. What am I trying to say? There are those that God commanded that you should honor as people. The Bible says it clearly. It is therefore a commandment of God that you must give to God through them. Do you know the way I put it? You know, let me just say this. You know, a friend of mine the other day, he called me. This is a very good example to see how this thing goes. And he said to me that, can you help me arrange some money and all of that? And he lives abroad, so he will send me the forex and all of that. I said, no problem. But the money was kind of plenty. And I said, by the way, what do you want to do with this volume of money? He now explained to me that actually, there's a land he bought somewhere in the country, and somebody persuaded him, one of his aunties persuaded him to buy, and he thinks it's a good deal, and he has to develop it. And listen to this. He said, I want to develop it. And I was kind of like, what do you want to do with it after developing it? He said, no, nothing really. I want that my auntie to stay there. He said, that will be her inheritance from me. I said, that is good. He said, I remember when I was in secondary school, she took care of me. Are you getting my point? That, listen, she will, it's my household, it's my land, but she will live there until she dies. Why? Honor your father and your mother. He wasn't talking only about your natural father and mother. I don't have time to explain all of these things. Many people, oh, that my uncle was so nice, they will say it and pass. Those is when I was in secondary school, the mom was so nice. My friends and I used to go to his house. That's how we used to stay. They will say it and pass. The guy just bought a car 2 weeks ago. He bought it for 6 million naira. He will say it and pass. I've discovered human beings don't know how to give. And I'm teaching in this series, it's one of the works you do for God, learning how to give. So one of my friends said that, I said, oh, this fellow has learned how to honor people. So he was getting, look, help me get the money, please. You know, we're discussing it. I said, what do you want to do with that such an amount of money? He said, I'm trying to develop a small piece of land I bought somewhere. The person who made me buy it is an auntie to me. I would build a house, then I would let her live there all the days of her life. Why? Because it's a commandment from God. I say, young people, listen. When you leave school, it's not the time to first leave out your fantasies. Nobody did you good because they want back from you, really. They shouldn't. That's the principle of life. You are doing good to people, you are not supposed to be looking for what you will get back from them. But listen, if people did good to you, if God gives the opportunity, be nice to them back. Later on, you see it. The place from which you were blessed, God does not accept thank you except you go to that place to say it. Did you hear what I said? In fact, let me prove it. Let's not even waste time. Because we're going to refer to this again and again. Let me just show it to you. You see, the Lord Jesus was speaking and telling a principle. He healed 10 people, 10 lepers, and he said to them, when one of them came back, let's just read it. Okay, Luke chapter 17. You know the story. Let's just quickly, because of time, I won't read everything. But you see, at the time he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and 10 lepers came up to him, and they raised their voices and said, that's in verse 13, Master, have mercy on us. And he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And the Bible says in that verse 14, and it came about as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And the Bible says he was a Samaritan. Now please, where I'm going is verse 17. And the Lord Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Please, I want you to understand something here. When I read this, I thought to myself, the Lord said, how come the rest were ungrateful? In summary, there were 10 that were cleansed. Where are the other 9? How come only this one returned to come and give God glory? I asked a simple question. How did he know that they did not go home to go and give God glory? How did he know that they did not go somewhere else and gather people and were shouting, this is the day that the Lord has made in giving God glory? How did he know that they had not rushed to go and get a fat offering, taken it to the temple to go and give God glory? How did he know? After I considered it, the Holy Spirit helped me to understand that it did not matter. Anywhere they went, but the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not acceptable. Because he was accessible to them. What am I trying to say? If God uses somebody to bless you, you grew up, your father took care of you, your mother took care of you. Okay, you did not have a father, your uncle took care of you. Now you are a rich boy. Your thank you to God for the time you were young is never acceptable, except you go back to that place, prostrate there, and say, I want to sit to God in your presence. Thank you. And I don't mean with mouth. If you are rich, you come down with a car and say, uncle, take. Drive this one. May it be well with your children too. That is how they do such things. But people will go in and out telling stories. Living large and telling stories. Oh, my uncle is in the village now. He was so nice to me when we were young. And he's there. Living large, telling stories. Listen, God commands that you should honor such people. I tell young people, those are the things that are most important for you. Not that, no, now I'm supposed to go and get an iPad because they just paid you a fair salary. You go and buy an iPad. You have not parted the lives of those who blessed you before. You are buying an iPad. These are things you do last. There are things you don't do. There are things you're supposed to do first. You don't do such things first. Living large, enjoying yourself, no, you don't start from there. Those are the places you end. The first place you go is the places where God helped you. I tell young people sometimes, you were in school, you were a Christian, your fellowship will used to gather around and help you when you were in trouble. Now you have left school, the first job they gave you, my God, you are earning fat. You are a regional manager for a telecom company. They are paying you more money than your generations ever realized was available in the country. And what do? Now you fly abroad every other weekend. You are living like, you are chasing girls, you know, to prove to them now that you too have arrived. You are buying gifts for girls so that the people will know that you are a big boy too.
Foolishness. Oh God. Some people can never endure in prosperity. You just see the way they are behaving foolishly.
A friend of mine the other day, I told him, God will bless you. I was noting the way he was going about, this guy is a specialist. He has money and all of that. At least he's well paid. I said, what is going on? He called me and said, let me tell you the truth. I am building a house. And I'm like, what are you building? What is the hurry? Then he told me, he said, my parents are not educated. They are farmers in the village. He said, but they struggled and they made sure I went to school. He said, where they live is thatched. The roof is thatched. That is, before I do anything, I must put a proper house that has zinc on top of it. I told him, please, when you want to paint it, let me know. No matter how small, I must add something. So when it was time for painting, he told me, I counted small money. Please, used to buy one or two buckets of paint. Paint one portion. Now me paint that one. I like one thing Bishop Oyedepo used to say those days. He said, when good things are happening, don't let it pass you by. Let not your name be absent. Until he finished that project, I understood all his struggles and all his lack. I wasn't building a big house in the city to show his friends I've made it. No. He said, let me go back home. Some people, I tell you, if you want to settle your parents, do on time. Don't wait till they are dead. And I'll be doing a large funeral. Do the funeral for your parents while they are alive. I don't mean one single party. On a daily basis, see that cow you'll have killed for the whole society to eat. Kill it now and be cutting it piece by piece for them for the next few months. And when that one finishes, buy another one. You know, I'm speaking figuratively now. It's a commandment of God. But you see, a lot of us know it. A lot of us knew these things. What we did not know, that we're doing it, that we do such things also for God. I'm sorry to say it like this, a lot of our pastors do not know. So if you told them you were doing something like that, they say you have not built the house of God. Listen, that one is also the house of God. Listen, let me say it to you. A lot of people won't like it, but as a matter of fact, there is no building these days that's the house of God. All we have in what we call churches are convenient meeting places. That is why I heard of a pastor in Lagos. After they finished building church, they realized that renting hall is very expensive in Lagos. So on Saturdays, they make money from renting church hall for wedding. There's nothing like church. All we have are convenient meeting places. What are churches where two or three are gathered in his name? I'm emphasizing, like I was saying, a lot of us knew these things, but we did not know it was the work of God. We thought we had to go and do God's work first. Then later we'll come and do this one. But God has sent me to you today to explain that one also is my work. To honor your father and your mother and people who stood in those positions in your life and are still standing in those positions in your life, listen, is the work of God. And if you do it, of course, we say that honor involves giving. That's what we just read from those scriptures. It does. When you do it, you are doing it for God. It's one of the ways by which you give to God. We'll continue from that point next time.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.